kind of excited for this message for a while now. It's been a little while. It's been working on my heart for a while. It's kind of changed over time. I saw some really cool stuff happen during this time of prayer and kind of reflecting on what God wants me to say. So I'm just going to start with a prayer. I'm going to pray, dear Jesus. I just pray that you hijack whatever I'm going to say.
Yes.
You say the words that you want me to say. I've got stuff written out, but if you want to go in a certain direction, this floor is your floor.
Yes, Heavenly Father.
This is your show. I want every word that I say to be of you,
yes,
and not of me.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you for putting thoughts in my head and an outline plan, but I really pray that this is more than that.
Yes, Lord.
More than just words. Words that hit us and really affect us. Words that break down chains.
Yes.
Strongholds. Things that are holding us back from being the person you created us to be. So I pray for this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, this is going to be called Get Rid of the Stuff in Your Basement. I'm just going to play this video. You don't need to see me. And I chose, this just happened. Probably about 2 hours ago, I decided to play this video. God kind of hit me and made. I was thinking, reflecting on things, and kind of hit me and said, "You show this, and then you can kind of expand on it from here." So this is a movie. This is Rocky, one of my favorite movies. Listen to this.
Nobody's giving you no title shot.
I know that. I don't want one.
So this isn't a mental disturbance?
No.
You're mad because they took down your statue?
No. No, really, no.
If it's about money, just hang a sign around your neck, say, punch me. $5, you make big money. What? You have peach yet?
Peach?
Yeah, peach.
I don't know, there's still some stuff in the basement.
What basement?
Here.
Tell me about the stuff.
What about it?
Tell me about the stuff inside. Is it angry?
Angry?
Are you mad because Adrian left you?
She didn't leave, Paul. She died.
Okay.
You know, sometimes it's hard to breathe. You know, I've got this beast inside me.
It's okay, Rocco. Please, it's okay.
Is it? Okay. I just never knew it was supposed to be this hard. It wasn't bugging me like this, Paul, you know. I said, you want to come by and help me train?
I've got a job here.
I understand.
Remember you said if you stay one place long enough, you become that place? Rocco, this is all like that.
I understand, Lord. I do.
So it's, there's emotion there, isn't there? Isn't there emotion? And things that are, that we've gone through in our lives in the past, things that we've felt, we've been hurt. There's a lot of emotion tied into that. And so I was working on this. This is about our past, okay? And how it's influencing us today. And is it really where God wants us to be? Does He want us held with our past stuff? Our past hurts. So in this little clip, you got to see some heavy-duty emotion, right? By Rocky, he's kind of emotional. His wife passed away, and he's not over it yet, right? He's stuck, right? And then you get to see also in there that Polly, who's the other character, he's also stuck. He's like, you know, you always said that where you stay long enough, that's where you're going to be for the rest of your life, right? But God didn't make us that way. He didn't want us to be like that. And so that's just one example of being stuck in a place. And that's what I've been running into at work, with friends I've been talking to. A lot of people I've been running into is people are stuck. And they're holding on to stuff that's holding them back. And we're not meant to be there, so how do we get through that? So I had a lot of confirmation of this message. We were coming up today. There was a song that played. I was going to play it, but it doesn't have lyrics yet. It's a new song. I had never heard it. It was called From the Inside Out. And that's what this message is about. The inside out. How do we get rid of that stuff that's in here? Remember you were saying, in here. I got stuff in there. And I don't know what to do with it. He didn't want to talk about it. You could see the angst in his face, right? He really didn't want to talk about that stuff. But he eventually let that go and talked about it, right? We watched a movie after I started working on this. We watched a movie called Charlie St. Cloud. Now, Charlie St. Cloud is about a young man. He's an incredible sailor. And he has great potential to be a great sailor and probably win awards and stuff like that and do great things with it. And one day he was supposed to watch his brother, his younger brother. And he decides that he's going to go out while his brother stays in the house while he's supposed to be watching while his mother's at work. And the brother sneaks out and gets in his car. And he has a choice to make at that time, right? He has a choice. He said that either he can take him back inside or the brother can hang out with him. And so his brother's hanging out with him and they decide that they're going to go out. And they get in a car crash, and the younger brother dies. And this movie really is about being stuck in the past. He always goes to play with his brother, play baseball with his brother after, every day. At the same time, he has to go because his brother's passed, and that's his connection to him. And he gets away from sailing and everything else. That was the whole movie, was being stuck. How do you get past that? I was outside actually working on this sermon. I was off because of my surgery and stuff. I was outside working on this sermon and had my Bible open and stuff. And the neighbor, he had a friend that was using his garage for fixing his truck. And I barely know this guy. I mean, I've said hi to him maybe twice. And so anyways, I was out there, and so he walked over and he says, hey, what you doing? And so I told him I was working on a sermon. And he said, I didn't know you did that type of thing. And so we were talking. And I told him, well, it's really about people's past, you know, and how, getting over that. Where does God want you to be? And he said, all kinds of stuff after that. He unloaded his past. I mean, this is a troubled soul from the past. And the one thing I got from what he was talking about was in his past, he had all this stuff going on and things that he hadn't gone over. But not only had he not gotten over it, he's repeating the same pattern over and over again. And most of it was due to relationships. Same relationships. Choosing the same type of person, getting burnt every time. He can't break out of his past. Can't break out of his past. I'm just going to throw out a little side note here. He was dropping F-bombs everywhere while we were talking. Okay? And I'm gonna throw this little side note out, because if I tell him, stop swearing, what is that going to do to our conversation? It's going to shut it down, right? So sometimes we have to be able to put up with things, right? And it didn't matter to me at that moment, because we were talking through stuff, that he was throwing down these F-bombs. So just remember that when you're, we don't want to be too critical and shut something down.
Right.
Now, if it's your best friend and he knows where you stand, you may want to step up and say, hey, I've had enough of this now. Okay? But in this circumstance, you got to understand what the Holy Spirit's telling you at that moment, right? Let it go. So I did a lot of painting while I was off, because that was about the only thing I could do. And while I was painting, I was thinking about this stuff and thinking about God and listening to messages and stuff like that. And I was realizing something. We had dark wood. I was painting it white. And I was realizing, boy, it looked nice. It was covered up nice. You know? I covered that dark wood up. It was beautiful. It was light. That was good. But underneath that white color that's on the top, there's still the dark.
Mm.
It isn't gone. You don't see it, but it isn't gone. It isn't gone. So there's stuff. There's stuff inside us. And we may pretend that we're covered up in white paint. Pretty good. We put on a good show most of the time. But just the same, that stuff is eating us up. From the inside out, like cancer. Actually, I believe it can cause cancer. I believe it can cause all kinds of things. I believe in here, there's people that have stuff that isn't being dealt with. And I believe that anybody who's going to listen to this who isn't here has stuff that isn't dealt with. And it's harming us. And that's why this message kind of came about. Malcolm gave a message last week about we're coming to a fork in the road, right? We're either going to stay where we're at, or we're going to rise above and kind of go into new territory. And sometimes that can be scary. Reaching out, breaking down old patterns. Scary. Scares me. Scares me. But anyways, if we're going to do that, if we're going to do it effectively, there's stuff we got to get rid of.
Yeah.
We really do. We really do. We have battles every day. And most of them are internal. The biggest battles we face are in our mind. And if we let that rule us, then we're not doing God's work, are we? We're so focused on what's going on in the turmoil, the stuff in the basement, that we can't be effective. We can't be effective Christian leaders. And what I've heard from Christians and non-Christians alike is their past defining them over and over again. It It's making us who we are. And who we will be if we let it. It can rule our lives. It could be all kinds of different things in our past, right? It could be a past event where someone hurt you physically, mentally. Nobody here has ever had something, been attacked in any way, right? Maybe verbally, maybe physically. How do we get through that? Maybe it was intentional. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't. What I see going on in the culture in this United States is a culture of being very easily offended. And so we take offense real quick. And if we get offended real quick, what do?
We retaliate
or hang on to it, right? So next time you go to talk to that person, are you going to be wide open? Probably not. Are you going to be guarded?
Mm-hmm.
Probably. There's a good chance. Good chance. It could be a past failure in which we affected someone else in a negative way. Maybe we did something to somebody else and we're hanging on to that. Right? So we've wronged somebody. Maybe we haven't gone up to him and said, forgive me. Because that would break down our pride a little bit. Maybe we did something in the past that affected ourselves negatively. Right? We made a stupid decision. We got hurt. Maybe we made a stupid decision, like in that movie, Charlie St. Cloud. And somebody else got hurt. And we're hanging on to that. We're hanging on to those hurts. We never got over it. Maybe we just got handed a bad hand of cards. Maybe we were born into a family that wasn't so good. Maybe you're born into a family that has a strong history of alcoholism. And now, genetically, you're predispositioned to that. And that past is defining who you are right now. Because maybe some of us are still drinking when we really shouldn't at that point. Could have been we got a bad hand of cards, could have been a traumatic accident. Maybe it's a disease. Now see, I work with people with disease. And so I have people who have multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's disease and fractured bones and different diseases. Now there's nothing that they did to deserve those diseases, but they have them. And it's part of their lives. But should it define their life, who they are? Are they stuck with the disease? Are they a multiple sclerosis person, or are they a person by name? How does God view that person? Maybe you're a fearful person. Are you defined by your fear? It's questions to ask yourself. Maybe you were born with histories of a dependence on the system, right? We see that in this country, right? So we see a generational dependence on the system, right? So if your parents, your grandparents were on welfare, and your parents end up on welfare, are you going to end up on welfare? These are all things where the past, our past lives, our past history, are influencing where we're going. And it's a dangerous place. It's not where God wants us. Our past events have influenced who we have become. And that's not all bad, because that we learn from that, right? We learn from our past. Hopefully. Hopefully we learn from our past. Some of us haven't learned from our past. Like that guy, he just keeps doing the same thing over and over again. Like, can't you see this is the same mistake? Isn't that what we're saying? Like what? How come you can't see this? It's the same thing over and over. I could tell you the end point before the beginning. But letting it define your life, defining your life, that's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. We got to let those issues go, those past events go. And the reason we have to let that go is because we have a loving God, right? And our God wants us to thrive, right? Not hold back. He wants us to thrive. He wants you to be who He sees you to be, not who we see each other to be or ourselves, right? He sees us so much more. He sees potential. We see, I can't do this. I can't do that. That's what we see. I have this baggage. I have this history. I made these mistakes. I have these thoughts. That's not where He wants us to be. And what happens is there's chemical reactions to all this stuff in our bodies. And so because of these chemical reactions, we end up with disease. And God doesn't want to see us suffer for nothing. He does not want to see us suffer. I don't know, sometimes I wonder if people believe that. Alright, so, that makes me say, well, what does the scripture say about this stuff? Right? Where do we go from here? Well, let's see what the scripture says. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And this is one that we all know. But I don't know if we truly grasp, what this is saying.
What was that scripture?
2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I mean, everybody knows that scripture, right? I mean, you've heard this before. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? You became a believer, right? Mm-hmm. And then the scripture is saying, when you become a believer, you're not the same anymore. You're different. So all that stuff of the past, it's gone. You don't have to hold on to it anymore. You're done with it. What's that?
Thank God
for that, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean to you? Anybody? The scripture? Read it again to yourself. Who has a thought on this? How important is it? Yeah, Joe?
Yeah, it's just... I know, just in my life alone, you know, I used to think how great the past used to be. And it used to stop me from moving forward. So when I gave that up, I just kept moving forward more and more and more. And every little bit I gave up, it helped me move further and closer to God.
Yeah, that's a good one. Like maybe our past isn't that bad. Maybe our past is so good it's holding us back sometimes, right? Maybe there's things in our past that we like that are holding us back. Like if, you know, and we're focused so much on the past, we can't look to the future, right? We want to go back to the glory days, the good old days. That holds us back, right? Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah, Kelly.
There we go. Amazing grace.
His
amazing grace. My chains are gone.
Yeah.
I'm set free.
Yeah.
You know, but do we live that way? No.
Do we live like that? Right. That, I mean, that's the question, right? So we know this stuff, right? But are we really living this stuff? Right? Are we living this stuff? We know it. We're not doing it. Or maybe we do a little portion of it. Let's go to...
Because we've been so disappointed with things in our past that, and I can't say that for all of us, but maybe it's just that we think that, well, we've been disappointed, he's going to disappoint us, so, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've been so disappointed, right? Again, it's jading you, right? It's affected you so much that when you're trying to move forward, you have your guard up, right? You're very cautious, right? And some caution is good, but if it's holding you back, then we're getting into trouble, right? If God is saying move forward, and you're saying, I'm going to put the brakes on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then that's where we get into trouble. Yeah.
I heard a sermon once where sitting in a car and you're looking in the rearview mirror, it's a very small mirror, that's your past.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look into the windshield, you have this great big windshield, and that's what God has to offer you is...
Yeah.
It's much bigger. Much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, Reg, too, in my therapy class, I've learned that, you know, that's a sin. That coveting the past. I'm telling you, you know, oh, I wish I was this. I wish I was that. You know, and you just stay so focused on that. And, I think it's been a year now since I've let that go. And it still rears up, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But
it's a battle.
It's a battle. But Jesus can fight that battle for
right,
you.
Right.
If you what? Submit to the Lord.
Submit
first.
To the Lord. Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's a battle every day. Yeah, Lord.
It was funny because Brad and I were talking before we came into church, and I was thanking God that I did not have a bitter heart from my first marriage, which was very, very turbulent, because I used that, though, as my platform, and I remembered what it was like, but it didn't taint my heart. I just knew I was not going to be put in that relationship again. But my heart being healed allowed me to love Sam.
Yes, right.
Let me go forwards. I didn't have a bitter heart where I said all men are terrible, and like Brad said, well, you know, just think how lonely your life would have been, which is true because I'm a people person.
Right.
And so God blessed me with this wonderful man for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And so I'm thankful for that. But I never forgot. That I needed to be more careful with what, because I'm valuable.
You're valuable.
Valuable.
Everybody here is valuable. Everybody listening to this is valuable, right?
That's right. And so, and sometimes we, especially as women, we're easily convinced that we're not by the wrong influence. Mm-hmm. So we just have to be careful and learn from our mistakes. Don't dwell on them, have them in the back of your mind so that you learn the lesson from them, right. So not to repeat them.
Right, exactly. And so that kind of brings up a thought too. Like I know people that have been going out and dating for years and years and years, and they never got married. And these people have both had bad marriages before, so therefore they won't get married again because they've already been burned. So now they're like, well, I ain't getting married again because I'm going to get burnt again. You know. So these things are affecting us, right? They're affecting us. Philippians 1, 4 through 6, we're going to go to. So this is Paul, right? I mean, obviously, Philippians.
Greg, did you sing that song while the people are looking? From the Inside Out. Was it Bill's song?
No, not that. That isn't the song I was thinking of, though. It's somebody, a different name. Audrey had it. Was Vaughn.
Vaughn Ray.
Vaughn Ray.
Vaughn or Vaughn?
Vaughn,
V-O-N.
V-O-N. Oh,
okay.
Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably did, yeah.
Philippians 1, 4 through 6. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And the key word is completion, right? Mm-hmm. It's a process, right? It doesn't happen just like this, right? It's a process. And so we got to go through a process to get there. But what's the promise? What's the promise? It will be completed, right? It will be completed. So if you surrender your life to Christ, and even though it doesn't look like it right now, at some point, it says right there, it's going to be completed. It will be completed.
Thank God.
We will be conformed. Thank God, right?
Amen.
We will let all that stuff go, right?
Preach it, bro.
How great is that?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Right? And so we look and we say, I'll never make it. I'll never make it. So where's that lie coming from?
Hell.
Right? I keep making this mistake. How am I going to get past this? Well, if you're a believer, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get past it. You're going to make it. It's a process. And when's it going to happen? By the time it's the day of Christ Jesus, right? It's going to be a redemption. Right? It's going to be a redemption. All right, Philippians. Let's stay in Philippians. Let's go to 12 through 14. Philippians 1, 12 through 14.
Found it with lyrics.
You found it with lyrics? Oh, you did?
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, so where
did you...
So it's just a little ways away, right? Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me... So something happened to him, right? Remember that? Mm-hmm. Something happened to him. And it hasn't been good stuff, right? Paul's had a lot of a lot of trauma, right? He had a lot of trauma in his life.
Yeah.
So what has happened to him, okay, has actually served to advance the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So all the stuff, the bad stuff that happened to Paul, had a purpose, and it actually served to advance the gospel. So if he had not gone through that stuff, then you have to assume that I went to serve the gospel as well as it ended up. So we go through things in our lives, right? We were talking about things that you weren't, that you have no control over, that just happened to you, right? And we're all thinking, that's bad, and maybe I did something bad, and I deserve it, or whatever you may think. The devil's telling you this stuff, right? And it's not true. Things happen. But it can serve to further the gospel, which is what we're meant to do. That's our purpose, right? Advance the gospel. Advance the gospel. Those are important words. Important words. As a result, so here it comes. So as a result, there's a result to this stuff, right? It has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. So where's your mindset when you're going through stuff? Where's your mindset? When we're going through stuff that we have no control over, it should be, guess what? I'm going to advance the gospel through this. Right? You got to think positive. Yeah. You're not going to hang on to the negative. Right?
Right.
I'm in chains for Christ. And because, okay, so now he's in chains, right? For Christ, though. A little different type of chains than what we're used to. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. Because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord. So all the stuff that he went through, what did that do?
Encouraged others.
Right. And why was he going around saying, woe is me.
No.
I've got this bad thing and I can't do nothing. There's nothing I can do. I've been put in jail. I can't do anything. I'm useless. No. That's not what happens. You can choose to do that. You can wallow, or you can move forward. You can look at it as something to go through and show people. We saw Lainey do that.
Yes.
Great example. Probably the best example in life that I see.
See, sometimes we have to keep the past so we don't make the same mistakes, and use the past to show you where you're going.
Yeah, absolutely. You can learn from this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. As long as you don't get stuck there or don't deal with it. It's when we don't deal with it that we get into trouble, right? So there it is. You're sitting and you're festering and festering and festering. So every time you have a trigger, something that brings that emotion up, brings that thought back, it just eats at you and eats at you. Okay, so be confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. How many of us do a good job at that? Boy, do I have a ways to go. All right, let's go to John 8:36. This is another one where you gotta claim it.
Yeah.
You gotta claim it. You gotta believe it. Right? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So if He set us free, if He took our sins and wiped them out, then we are free. Not free to do the same thing that we did. Right? A real repentance not trying to go that same direction. If we can do that, if we let that stuff go, move forward, we're free. We're free. Free indeed. Part of the purpose of this life is to prepare for heaven. Right? So some of this past stuff isn't just about learning stuff for now. It's to prepare for heaven. Why? Because we're going to have purpose in heaven. We're not floating on clouds. We're not just hanging out. There is going to be a purpose in heaven for you and for me. And so there's preparation that has to happen along that way. He's trying to make us as strong can be. To be fit to go into heaven prepared. Mm. Wouldn't you like to go into a ball game prepared? Wouldn't you like to go into work prepared? It's important. Prepare for heaven. It's important. You can't just let it sit there. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with it. Luke 9:62. This is an interesting one. This one kind of hit me a little bit. The reason I had the other scripture there is because we're talking about preparation for heaven, right? Mm-hmm. This is an interesting one. And it says, and Jesus said unto him, so this is Jesus speaking. So is this important?
Very.
You better believe it. You better believe it. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow, okay, meaning like this is your past, right? If you, when you're plowing, you're moving forward, right? We don't want to be stuck in the past, right? Yeah. You got your hands on the plow and looking back, okay? So if you got your hands on the plow and you're looking back, it's fit for the kingdom of God. No man. Yeah. No man. Yeah. Right? Now it doesn't say you're not getting into heaven. Okay? Yeah. It's saying that you're not fit for heaven. Okay? You're not prepared. You're not prepared enough. You're stuck in the past. Right? So what is he saying? He's saying get fit. Right? If you want to go to heaven, go in prepared. Be ready. Get fit. Get fit for heaven. Those are pretty strong words. I never picked up on that before. Yeah. Anybody else pick up on that? When you were reading the Bible, just like that particular phrase hit you for some reason? Yeah? It's an eye-opener. It's an eye-opener.
Yeah, because Jesus didn't say that you weren't going into heaven. He said that you're not fit.
You're not fit.
So, what I find throughout the whole Bible is when God speaks in the Old Testament, you had to do something.
You had to do something.
You couldn't just sit there and go, okay.
Right. That's it. I heard it and that's it.
That's
right.
It. You gotta do it.
You gotta do it.
You gotta, if you don't do it, you know, God's not gonna, you know, throw you in hell, but he'll
pass. There's a consequence, though,
there
right?
Is. You lose
right?
Blessings.
So if you don't do it, you lose blessings. But not only that, but maybe you're even harming yourself, right?
It's true.
Maybe you're holding something back, right? So God's instructing us, right? And everybody looks at the Bible and says, "Well, there's too many rules and too many of this," right? He's not throwing out rules. He wants you to prosper. Mm-hmm. And so in order for you to prosper, he's telling you, if you want to prosper the best you can, then listen to me. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you how to do it. I'm giving you the instructions. These are the instructions. If you follow these instructions, your life is going to be the best life that it can be. Amen. Not to say that there isn't going to be problems. Those problems are always going to be there. But you're not going to add on problems. Mm-hmm. Problems you didn't have to go through to get there. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it like that, like it's instructions.
Yes.
You can choose not to follow the instructions, but you're going to have more difficulties. You're going to have more pain.
Oh,
you're going to suffer a little bit more. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, this came to me as a preacher, this show, and they have this saying on this show, you got to risk it to get the biscuit. And it just reminds me of that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take the right chance.
We need to take the right chance.
And forward with it. And then you get the biscuit, which is God. You know?
Right.
I know it sounds kooky, but if you look at it that way,
mm-hmm.
it makes a lot of sense.
Oh, absolutely. Right, right. And it's all in how you look at things, right? It really is. I mean, I've learned over the years, and it's a process, and I'm still processing it and stuff like that, but it's a process. It's all in how you look at things, right? So we're going to go, and we're going to talk about David a little bit here.
Oh, that's my favorite.
So we're going to David, who's the master of messing up.
Oh.
But still pursuing God with all his heart, right? I mean, that's what they say, is like he pursued God with all his heart, right? Right? And so we're going to go to this little section in here, and this is kind of, again, instruction, example, right? We're going to get an example from God, right? So remember, David, he messes up big time, right? He sleeps with Bathsheba.
Yeah.
Right? We're not going to get into all that. But anyways, they have a child. And then he ends up killing, you know, he kills the servant, Bathsheba's husband, has him killed. And then they get married, and now they have a child. They have this child together, right? Because he slept with her. So, if we go to 2 Samuel, okay, so this is what's coming down the pike, right? So along the way, God is saying, like, I'm not going to kill you, David, right? But his child gets stricken, sick, right? And so, if we really look at that, now, during that process, he's like, I'm going to try to change God's mind, right? I'm going to pray more. I'm going to try to change God's mind, right? And I'm just going to pray, which is good stuff. I mean, you should be praying, right? If things are going on in families and stuff like that. But let's see what happens here. This is about past, right? That's the only reason I'm bringing this up. If you want to read the whole story, it's a good story. You can learn a lot from a lot of different things. But I'm talking about the past. How does David handle going through the past? So we're going to 2 Samuel 12:20. So his son, he goes in, he's trying to plead with God, don't kill my son, you know, and pray for him and stuff, he fasts and all that stuff, and then his son dies, right? So then here we are. Then David got up from the ground after he had washed, put on lotion, changed his clothes. He went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. So after his son dies, this is what he's doing, right? He got up, he washed, he put lotion, he changed his clothes, and he went in the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went into his own house. At the request, they served him food, and he ate. And then his attendants look at him, and they're confused, right? They're like, I don't know what's going on here. Like you know, you should be devastated right now, right? His attendants asked him, why are you acting this way? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But now that the child is dead, you get up and eat. Right? So he's like it was like a quick transition, right? He's like mourning when his child is alive, pleading, right? His child dies, and the next thing you know, he's like going on with his regular routine. And the servants are saying, huh, what is this all about? You know? How does that happen? And so he answers them, and he says, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? Right? Who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. But now that he is dead, Why should I go on fasting? Why should I stand in the past? Why am I going to stay there? I can keep fasting and keep wallowing in my misery. But why am I going to do that? Right? Mm-hmm. Can I bring him back again?
Mm-hmm.
By me wallowing, crying, and moaning and groaning, am I bringing him back?
No.
No. And he realizes this, right? He realizes this. But he will not return to me. So he realizes, like, there's nothing I can do about it now. I made a mistake in the past. I really messed up. There was also a consequence to that messing up. And it happened to his son. Child. Right? Who likes to hear that? Nobody likes to hear that. Right? But he didn't stay there and sit there and wallow. And what was the first thing he did? He went and worshipped, right? After he got washed up, he went and worshipped. Boy, who's getting some stuff out of this? Right?
Oh, yeah.
You have something, Glenn, you want to say? Yeah, you get some stuff, right? You get some stuff, right? There's power in this, right? So what's the instruction, right? I mean, come on. I mean, emotionally, he's hurt. You got to believe that, right? I mean, it doesn't say that, but I mean, emotionally, he's got to be hurt. But you can't just stay there, right? That was what was going on in the movie, right? With Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was depressed. He was depressed and sick, and he was stuck in that past, right? And then the longer you hang out there, the more it becomes routine. Right? It becomes a routine. If you watch the movie, he goes to the grave every day. To his wife, he pull out his seat and sit at the grave. So it becomes a routine and you're stuck. Can you move forward when you're doing the same thing over and over again? You can't. Yeah, Glenn.
Yeah, the thing you play with Rocky, I just thought that it was entitled The Beast Within.
Yeah, The Beast Within.
And if you keep feeding it, it will grow.
It will grow.
You got to strive
for that. Yeah, you got to break that beast. Anything that's holding you back from becoming the person that God wants you to be is a beast inside you. It's a beast inside you. So we got lessons. We got instruction. God saying, like, listen, don't stay there. Don't stay there. Get out. Do something about it, right? You got medical issues? Do something about it. You got family issues? Do something about it. You got turmoil with friends?
Do something
about it.
They get in the picture?
Get in the picture.
Action.
There's an action. Right.
I think it's also a warning that you were once in the world and you did the things that people in the world do, whether your past was drinking, drugs, whatever, a lot of sin. Don't go back to that.
Don't go back to that.
Because now you're moving forward in the Lord.
You're moving forward.
And the past is dangerous in that sense.
Yeah.
It's still there calling you in a sense that, but you're a new person, a new creation. Don't go back to the way you were.
Don't go back to the same way you were. That's the instruction, right? That's what God's calling us to do.
Thank God we have a loving and merciful.
We are so blessed, aren't we?
We are.
Aren't we so blessed? I mean, at some point I'm going to bring a message on who we are in Christ, right? So that's how we overcome this, right? Is who we are in Christ. What does the Bible say? Who we are in Christ, not in ourselves, because we're a mess in Christ. So that's coming. I literally know people, and at one time I was one of them, that their past not only was detrimental to them, but was literally killing them. Literally killing them. And people commit suicide sometimes because of their past. They can't get past it. is harboring in them. They feel like there's no hope. We all may know someone like this, or maybe somebody listening to the sermon right now needs to hear this. Maybe it's us. Maybe it's us. God doesn't bring messages for no reason.
That's right.
He brings a message for a purpose. He's saying to you, this week you got an opportunity to pay attention to this stuff. Not because I want to put you down, make you feel bad. It's because I want you to thrive. I want you to grow. I want you to do things that I never, that you yourself have never thought you could do. Every time you said, I can't, he's saying, you can.
Get rid of that false teaching.
Reggie, he's right there being the one to help us through it.
That's right.
He's the one that carries it on to completion.
That's right.
When we trust in him, he's the one that, you know, sometimes we don't have the strength to do it, but he's the one that carries it on to completion.
So Sylvia must be reading my sermon. Because the next line, this is it. If we're a believer, then we need to cling to God and what he says. That's what Sylvia just said. Okay. Is there discernment there on Sylvia's part? Pretty good. And let those chains be pulled far away from us. Not just a little distance. Let's yank that sucker right out. Let's pull this, right? Let's get it away from us so far, throw it in the ocean, let it sink down, so that you can never see it again if it's holding you back.
Reggie?
Yeah?
I've been, for a while now, I've been seeing a therapist for mental issues, anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, and I told her, I said, I feel like a fisherman's fishing box with all of the hooks loose, just clinging everywhere. And over this 3 years, a lot of them have been taken out. But there's some pretty big ones in there.
They got deep hooks.
Yeah, they're big.
And they got barbs. Yeah. So when you pull it out, it hurts.
Yeah, or right? If you push it in.
If you push it in, it hurts, right? Even more so.
Yeah.
Right?
I remember I got the idea of the fishing hooks from A Perfect Storm, Storm, when that one fella wasn't paying attention and he was flicking that hook and it went right through his hand,
right into his hand,
drawed him out off the boat, right into, I don't know how far, how deep he went, but he stopped breathing, and of course Mark Wahlberg played in it, and he dove in, and then the other guy, I can't remember his name, but the contents is, you know,
there was a consequence.
Yeah. Where do you find, you know, the snippers of God
to clip those?
Yeah, right. Right in here.
Right in there.
Right in here.
That's right. So, right in the book. Right in the book. So that's all kind of like what we're talking about for us as Christians, as believers, right? We're moving. We're allowed to change, right? We can change.
Amen.
So what about the non-believers out there?
Well, they can change.
They can change.
Sure they can. What's it going to take for them to change?
Surrender their will.
Who's it going to take to step out? And that's what Malcolm was talking about too, right? Like, okay, we're comfortable here. We're learning. But when are we going to go grab somebody? When are we going to bring them back? Who are we going to grab? Who are we going to help to learn the same lessons that we're learning right now?
Your neighbor.
My neighbor. My neighbor.
I stole it from the back.
My neighbor. We need to listen to God closely. And we need to lead them to know God. We need to help them understand that they're not trapped. Like you're not trapped.
Yeah.
If you're feeling trapped, you need to look to a bigger God. Right here. He's calling you. You're not trapped.
Yeah.
Right? And they don't have to be trapped. Joe.
Yeah, you know, I want to say that we can't use our past as a crutch.
Right.
You know, so when you shake the crutch or you rock the crutches, you're moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to shake the crutches to get rid of
the crutches. He wants us to thrive, not only for ourselves, right? But for others' sake and their well-being. It's not always about us. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? We always think it's about us. At least I do. It's not. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about us. Them. Right? And what happens when you talk about past things is you got them who have hurt us, right? They're saying stupid things about us. You're crazy. Why are you talking like this? Why do you believe in that? It's just a book. And that hurts us, right? It makes us have doubt when we shouldn't. And it hurts us. But those same people that are saying that are the ones that we want to be influencing. We got to be praying for them. We got to be the light that shows them there's a better way. I'm going through things, but watch how I handle them. So if I'm wallowing like they wallow, I'm not having a good influence on them.
That's right.
I'm going to end with two scriptures here. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God. Amen?
Amen.
We are children of God. Amen. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Right? So we don't know where we're going to be. He does. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a revelation sometime. But we know, well, when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. Right? Going back to the other scripture, right? So when He's revealed, we're going to be like Him. Are you where you need to be right now? No. Yeah. Will you be where you need to be?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Because it says so, right? It says so in the book. It says so.
And we have the innocence of children back here. He knows where He's at.
He knows where He's at. That's right. We shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Right? So not our own mental perception of who He is. Right? What we think He's like. Mm. How we feel He's like. No, we're going to have a revelation. We're going to see how He is. Face to face.
Thank you, Lord.
Face to face. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It says so. Mm-hmm. You got to believe it. And then we'll go to Jeremiah 29:11. And I think Jen actually brought this one up. And I said, you know what? If there's one that's going to close this sermon down, this is the one. For I know the plans I have for you. Who's saying this?
Declares
the Lord. Is it important?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
The Lord's saying it. It's important. Plans for what? To prosper you. Does He want to harm you?
No.
No. He wants you to prosper. Prosper for what? For yourself? So you can be awesome?
No.
No. He's prospering you for His glory.
Amen. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
For His purpose for you.
Thank you.
And not harm you.
And not harm you.
Plans to give you hope and a future. Amen, huh?
Amen.
Yes. Plans for hope and a future. Do we all need hope?
Yes.
Does the world need hope?
Yes.
Boy, more now than ever. Yes. They got a constant stream of negativity pounding them, pounding us. We need to look to God. We need to be praying hard. We need to be setting our alarms and praying for people who need the prayers. We need that reminder sometimes. It's a chaotic world. So let's go out and do it. Let's be the light that we're meant to be. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Jesus, I just pray that this hits us. That we let go of the stuff that we can't change anymore.
Yes.
What I just said is in the past. I can't change that. What I just thought is in the past. I can't change that. I gotta let stuff go. I gotta see the person you created me to be like you see me.
Yes.
I pray for each of us to let that past that's rooted in us, that's hooked in us. Help us to shed it. Show us how to shed it.
Yes.
Help us not to ignore it. Help us to look it straight in the eyes. Grab a hold of it. Put it in the ocean.
Yes.
Let it sink down to the bottom. Never to be seen again.
Yes.
Help us to become the perfect people that you promise us to be.
Thank you.
We know we're going to make it. Because your word says we're going to make it.
Because your word says.
But help us to stay strong, committed. Let's make it quicker. Let's not be bound down, held back, tripped up, slowed up. Let us fight the good fight. Help us not to get tired, worn out, stuck. We need you more than ever. This world needs you more than ever. This country needs you more than ever. This area needs you more than ever. People in desperation need us and you more than ever.
Yes, Father.
We lift this up to you in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rich.